speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Please turn now to 1 John 3. 1 John 3, beginning verse 7. And here we find that John is writing to us as Christians. And when he writes to us, he, of course, has talked about some who went out from us because they're not of us. And there are those who were once Christians who are not now faithfully serving the Lord. And that's what John is talking about. But he says here in verse 7, "My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. To this end was the Son of Man manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is begotten of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him. And he cannot sin, because he is begotten of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that worketh not or loveth not his brother." So in noticing this, we find some very important things. We can be deceived. We can be led away. That's the reason he tells us, "Let no man do this to you. Let no man lead you astray." Now, he talks about the devil bringing these things upon us, but then he tells us how that is done. It's through men. Men serving the devil. Men who do not love the Lord enough to do what he says and obey his will. And they're servants, not of the Lord, but of the devil. And that's what he says here. Now, he said if his seed is in them, and you know that seed, of course, is the Word of God. If that seed is there, they can't sin and remain faithful as children of God. And that's what he's talking about. And he said the children of God are manifest. Why? Because they love and do the truth. And the children of the devil are manifest. Why? Because they don't love God, neither do they love their brethren, and they don't walk uprightly before the Lord. 1 John 4, 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, pardon me, but prove the spirits, whether they be of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world." In 2 Peter 1, 3, he said, "Seeing that by his divine power he hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue." But in 1 Timothy 4, he said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, clearly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." They are those who speak lies and hypocrisy, he said. They have their conscience seared as with a hot iron. They forbid to marry, command to abstain from meats, which God hath prepared to be received with thanksgiving by those that believe and know the truth. So here's the doctrines of devils. Here is the devil working. And, of course, he is fooling people. He is turning them away from the right way to his own way. He has the homage of the world. And when we talk about that, of course, we realize John 8:44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil." And, of course, further he said, "The lust of your father is your will to do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and he's the father of it. So here we find the same tempter, the same disposition and spirit that the devil has, these people have. Therefore, he says, "You're of your father, the devil," because he acts like the devil. Because, you know, like father, like son. So when people do what the devil wants done, they are of the devil. That's all there is to it. They're not children of God because they won't obey God. They're children of the devil because they obey the devil. The devil is their master. Elymas was one who had the devil as his master. You remember that he tried to turn the proconsular away from the faith. And when he did, Paul caused him to be blinded. And he said, "Thou child of the devil." Now, it is possible for you and me to be children of the devil. And if we are, we know what the end of that life shall be. But when we think about the devil, who is the devil? How does he work in our lives? And is there help for us to overcome? I think those three things at least we ought to learn this morning and this evening as our lesson progresses through the day. You know, we can usually find something good to say about every individual if we look hard enough. But there is nothing good to say about the devil. There's nothing good at all that can be said about him, because he is a relentless enemy of all that is good. And he being the relentless enemy of all that is good, We know that he can't be good. We know that the things he does is not good. And therefore, there is nothing good at all that can be said about him. What do you know about the devil? You know everything we can possibly know is revealed to us in the Scriptures. Indeed, these Scriptures tell us about the devil and about his work. We know because God's divine revelation proclaims it to us. That's the only way we would know. But we know from that he is, that he has been, that he'll always be one who is in opposition to good and therefore the opposer of God and the opposer of man. And the effects of this diabolical ruler in the world, this very wicked, cruel, fiendish person, are the same that happen in the home. They happen in the church. It happens, of course, in our schools and in our nation. There are difficulties that arise because of this one. Only a fool would fail to recognize the strong warning of the Apostle Peter when he says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, that's sensible, be vigilant, that's watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, lions only roar, of course, when they spring. They steethingly sneak up on their prey, and they wait until the opportune time, and when they spring, they also roar. The devil may be on your trail right now, ready to spring. Maybe the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life have taken hold on you. And if that be the case, then the devil can devour you. But the next verse tells us how to keep that from happening. He says, whom are which resist, withstand, steadfast in the faith. Now some translations say, your faith. But your faith has to come by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. I think it's the faith, because the article the in front of the faith means the gospel. We're to contend earnestly for the faith because the devil wants to take advantage of people. And of necessity, then, this one is an adversary of Christ. He is a great enemy of his work, as well as all the servants of Christ. And indeed, when we think about this, we realize that Satan would have us to believe that he's stronger than God, that he is above God, that God is not as strong as he is, that Christ is not as strong as he is. But let me tell you this before you go further. Satan is not an eternal being. Satan is not like God. He's not deity in that he's an eternal being. He's not stronger than God. He's not stronger than Christ. He's not stronger than the servants of the Lord. Nor does he have the characteristics of the Godhead. Now, where did Satan come from? Many people ask this question. And, of course, we have to say there is no detailed account. But all things were created in the beginning of time. And in Colossians 1:16, there it says, for by him, talking of Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and in earth, things that are visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. All things were created by him and for him. Therefore, the devil was created in the beginning. The devil did not exist from eternity like God did. So he is a created being. And of course, knowing that John 1, verses 1 through 3 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and not anything that was made without him. And he was the light of men, and the light cannot be put out by darkness. So we learn that all things were created by him. Now, how the devil came to be evil is something that had to be happening after the creation, because everything that God created was good, and nothing was evil. But the devil became evil, and therefore he was indeed one who was not approving what God did. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the things that are revealed belong to us, but the things that are secret belong to God. I know what his name means. It means accuser. It means slanderer, seducer of man to lust for all that is evil in the world. I know he's our adversary. He's our enemy. He is our opponent. He is the one we're fighting against if we're fighting the good fight of faith. He's full of subtlety. He is full of envy. He's full of strife, trickery, and hatred. And he's been the father of lies and the murder from the beginning, the Bible says in John 8:44. Now take into thought, if he is a murderer from the beginning, what is it talking about? Well, it's talking about the seduction of Adam and Eve, is it not? and how that he took their life. God had said, don't eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Satan said, oh no, you want to be as wise as God? Doesn't that fruit look good? And he said, thou shalt not surely die. Well, they took of that fruit. And God, of course, didn't create evil. He didn't create the evil one. Therefore, the devil became evil after he was created. And that's what it means here in 1 John 3:8 when he says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. And the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now, he didn't sin before the beginning, but he sinned from the beginning. And it says, for this purpose the Son of God is manifested, that he might destroy the work of the devil. A sinful life, then, is proof of the devil's power. And a sinful life in us is proof that we're following the devil, aren't we? Now, the devil is indeed real, and indeed we need to see him for what he is. What are his characteristics? Well, he has certain characteristics. Don't ever count him short. He possesses power, very great power. He possesses wisdom, James 3:15, but his wisdom is sensual and devilish. He possesses intellect. You know, he had a conversation with God in Job 1, verse 6 through 8. He said, I've been going to and fro upon the earth. So he has intellect. He has wisdom. He has power. We have to understand that. No one should think that Satan is easy to dispose of, or that Satan is illiterate, or that Satan is without ability to do great damage to mankind. He is a formidable adversary. And he wouldn't be formidable nor able to oppose us if indeed he weren't powerful. You know, he confronts us daily. Temptation that comes to us comes from him. And it is real. And it's very difficult. And it comes to all in life. There's not a one it misses. Everybody is tempted. Paul warned, let a man that thinketh he standeth, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, or 12 and 13, let a man that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape. There are three foes for man that are able to fool him. And they do fool many people, and the devil uses them. Those three are the world, and the flesh, and the devil himself. So when we think about this, these produce a false kind of wisdom in a sinner. Because Satan is wise, he makes others who walk in his will think they're wise. And they, of course, as he speaks clearly this wisdom, saying it's earthly, sensual, devilish, he's talking about carnal wisdom, worldly wisdom, wisdom that is not of God. You know, one might not only be fooled by thinking himself wise and following Satan, he might think he's powerful. Sometimes people think the power of the world is so important. In Hebrews 2:14, you remember that Jesus became flesh and blood, also himself likewise took part of the same, but he did that for a purpose, that he through death, that's physical death, that he through death might destroy him, that's Satan, that had the power of death, that is the devil, he says. So he had power of death over all those out of Christ. They are those who have no hope, you remember. But those in Christ have hope. And so he has no power over them because of the atonement of Christ. So here he says that through death, that is his atonement, he might destroy him that has the power over death, even the devil. Romans 5:12, he said, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. So in noticing this, we understand Ephesians 2:2, when he said, wherein in times past ye walked, according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. The prince of the power of the air has the allegiance of the world. And the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. In Ephesians 6:12, he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Who's the ruler of darkness? Satan. Who are those who are in spiritual wickedness, those who follow Satan? There are various orders of evil, various orders of spirits evidently that are evil. They're all under Satan's control. The Bible so declares it. So don't think of Satan, my friends, as being without power, without wisdom. One might only be fooled in thinking himself wise to follow Satan if he doesn't know these things. So when we think about Satan and the evil that he does, he binds people. He binds them with his temptation. He blinds them to the power that is able to deliver them from that, and that's the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid in them that perish, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should even dawn upon them." He stalks men. He stalks you. You may think, "Oh, I don't have to worry about Satan," but you do. He'll stalk you. He'll continually follow after you, and he'll set snares to entrap you. If you're blinded to his purposes, you'll be entrapped. That's what 1 Timothy 4 says. He says, "The Spirit speaketh expressly and clearly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." And what made them depart? Well, they gave heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And they spoke lies and hypocrisy. In other words, they lied. They knew they were lying. They spoke lies and hypocrisy. And furthermore, he said, "Their conscience was seared as with a hot iron." We have just seen recently the Catholic Church being exposed for what it's done for many, many years. In fact, all of its history has been as rotten as it can be. But now it's coming out that it has been found and exposed to some degree. But you know what? That was foretold by Paul way back here. What are these people going to do? Well, they speak lies and hypocrisy. They lie and they know they're lying. And furthermore, he said, they'll forbid to marry, that's celibacy. And they'll command to abstain from meats, that's no fish, nothing but fish on Friday, which God prepared to be received with thanksgiving in them that believe and know the truth. That's sad to see that, isn't it? But these people are blinded for the purpose of Satan. It says in 2 Timothy 2:26, "And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." They're taken captive without a fight. Isn't that terrible? You know, if Satan gets a hold of me, I want to fight him before he ever gets a hold that he can keep me from doing what I need to do. But here's some who were taken at his will. He understands the truth. Don't ever forget that. He understands the truth. He labors to neutralize it. He wants to neutralize the truth and the effects that it has on the hearts of men. You remember in the parable of the sower? That fell by the wayside. He said they didn't understand the word, and the devil came and took the seed out of their hearts that they might not believe. You know, when the word of God is not in the heart of man, it won't do them. So here's the devil. Don't forget he's a believer in God, James 2:19. He believes in God and he trembles. And he even is able to use the scriptures. You know, when Jesus was tempted, he said, "Don't you know what the Bible says? It says, cast thyself down, for I will bear thee up." But he didn't quote all of that in Matthew 4, verses 5 and 6. He left out the fact that God promises to take care of us when we're doing our duty toward Him. The devil doesn't mind misusing the Scriptures. But don't think just because a man uses the Scriptures, he's not of the devil. That's the thing we want to see. Here's the devil with a text in his mouth and a Bible under his arm, if you please, quoting it to Jesus. He knows the Scriptures and he misquotes them and he perverts them, as he did here in Matthew 4, 5, and 6. Well, we need to learn more about him, though. What are his aliases? He's not always called the devil. Did you know that? Sometimes he disguises himself and he even trains his servants to not appear like the devil, but like angels of light. And that's the way he fools a lot of people. He dresses them up as false apostles, deceitful workers, apostles of Christ, informing them that they're angels of light, 2 Corinthians 11 says, verse 13 through 15. And furthermore, some of the aliases of the devil are Abaddon, and then Apollyon, Beelzebub, Belial. All of these are names of the devil, sometimes just plain Satan. But some have mistakenly called him Lucifer. You know, people want the devil to fall out of heaven for some reason, and they've decided that the devil fell out of heaven. You can't find any scriptural proof of that whatsoever. In fact, in Isaiah 14:12, and some attempt to make a case of him falling out of heaven, as it says here. But if you read further on that, Isaiah 14:4, it's easily seen that this doesn't apply to Satan. It applies to the king of Babylon, and not to Satan. So it's true that when the 70 came back, they said to the Lord, "Even the devil was subject to us, and to thy power through thy name, Luke 10:17-21. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan's power falling as lightning from heaven. Now that didn't say Satan fell out of heaven, friend. It says the power of Satan fell like lightning that comes out of heaven. In other words, it was quick and it was complete. And this referred to Satan's power when it was tested against the power of Christ. So don't get that mixed up. Now, Satan's power fell rapidly, and Jesus saw the falling of that power as lightning from heaven. As is an adverb of manner. So it was in the like manner as lightning falls from heaven. But it wasn't Satan falling out of heaven. It was his power. Now, this doesn't mean at all that heaven is a place where Satan could fall from. Heaven is a place of purity. Heaven is a place of holiness, and no sin can enter in any part of it. And Jesus, the embodiment of the truth, the Son of God, is convinced that He is able and powerful over all that Satan may want to do on the earth, and He sees the power of Satan fall. And God, the Father in heaven, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one being that is above all others, and according to Psalms 90, verses 1 and 2, He is the only true and living God. He is the one who introduces His Son to the world. And He says His Son is the embodiment of everything He is and all the truth that He presents. So He introduces Him in the world first at His baptism. You know, when He came up out of the water, the voice from heaven said, This is My Son. This is My beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And Matthew 17 on the Mount of Transfiguration, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. And He said God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son. John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And in John 14:6, you know, Jesus proclaims Himself as the way, the truth, the life. And He said, No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. Now He is the embodiment of the truth. And He came to this earth as the embodiment of truth to stop Satan. And only through the embodiment of truth can we find the source of spiritual life. In John 6:63, He said, The Spirit giveth life, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. I wonder, my friends, are you aware that the only way you can overcome Satan is through following the words of eternal life? When some of the disciples decided they would not follow the Lord's word, and they refused, and He said to the chosen 12, Will you also go away? Simon Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen closely to me. When men turn away from the Word of God, where do they turn? They turn unto Satan. And Satan rules their life then. They reject that which is spiritual life, that which the Word is able to lead them into, and they walk the things of Satan. And they walk it. No wonder Jesus said, You're of your father the devil, and his will, it's your will to do. You choose to do that. So those who come to a love of the truth, they're the ones who love the Lord. They're the ones who love God. John 14, you know, in verse 15, He said, If you love Me, keep My commandments. John 15:14, He said, You're My friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I wonder whose friend are you this morning? Are you the friend of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit of what is good? Are you the child of God that wants to live in harmony with His will? Or are you a child of the devil? Evil doesn't seem to bother you. In fact, you really love evil more than good. You don't love the Lord or you would do His will. That's the way you tell the difference. Now, Jesus came because Satan needed to be overcome. Man could not save himself, and the only hope for his salvation was a Savior whose pure and complete sacrifice made it possible for man to be cleansed from his sins, that he might live for Him who died for him. If you're in this audience this morning and the Word of God doesn't direct your life, why not let it do so? Why not let that embodiment of truth be your guide, be your strength, be your hope? And yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil, for His rod and His staff will comfort you, lead you into the heavenly city where there is the privileges and blessings of life eternal. And if you desire to do that, you must hear His Word, believe it with all of your heart, repent of the sins of your life, and make the good confession before men, be buried with your Lord in baptism to wash away your sins, That's the only way anybody becomes a Christian and then arise to walk in that newness of life, not living for Satan, living for Christ. If you're subject, will you come while together we stand and while we sing?